I'm going to make the assumption that a majority of you here today in this room or joining us online or over at our Westside campus, that you at one time in your life have experienced some anxious thoughts, some anxiety, or maybe some worry in your life. And so I'd be curious, is there anyone here for whom this is not true? Because if you raise your hand, we're going to go ahead and let you go because we don't want to mess up what's going on in your life today. So what would have been one of the times of greatest worry in your life? I can remember one that's going to be a little bit hard for me to ever forget. And honestly, I'd really rather not bring this up because it was a season I'd imagine most of us would kind of like to forget. Does anyone remember what was going on 5 years ago this month? It was 2020. The world got really, really weird and dangerous. COVID invaded and there were a number of people who died and the world kind of got turned upside down. And there were some things that changed really dramatically and some permanently. And it was a very stressful time as the world kind of went on lockdown. And what that meant for our church and many others is that services were going to be shut down, at first indefinitely and eventually for 3 kind of long months. And I'd have to admit that I experienced some pretty strong anxiety in those moments. And if I'm completely honest, a part of it had to do with the fact that I was very concerned about what that meant for people's giving, because we're no longer going to be receiving an offering, and now we don't even have to do that anymore, but how are we going to pay the bills and the mortgage that we have and all of the staff? And it honestly was pretty worrisome. Now, fortunately, any worry or anxiety I experienced was unfounded because of not only, I believe, the faithfulness of God, but also the faithfulness of this church family. And in that time, giving remained constant and healthy. And since then, honestly, I have often wondered, why did I choose, because it was a choice, why did I choose to worry? Now, for the past few weeks, we've been working our way through the significant body of teaching that Jesus gave and that has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And what we're going to see today is that I believe Jesus intentionally touched on the topic of worry because he knew that a majority of his listeners, not only way back then, but also today, we're going to be dealing with this very unhelpful and unproductive practice. So what is it that Jesus had to say when it came to worry? Well, we're going to jump in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. And Jesus gets right to the point. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? I mean, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, as Jesus was giving these instructions concerning worry, we ought to take note that he did point out the inappropriateness of worrying about one's clothing. He addresses the inability of worry to extend the timeline of anyone's life. But he also repeated a straightforward warning three times, and he said, do not worry. And just so you know, what we're going to be looking at today would be considered regular, kind of everyday worry. We're not going to be talking about the clinical, chemically induced anxiety that does require professional help. And if you're living there, I would encourage you to get professional help. But I also understand today that some of you, this isn't just a side issue. It's kind of your everyday life. And sometimes it feels like you're living up to your eyeballs in anxiety. Because I definitely believe we live in kind of an anxious age. And so I think it's pretty important that we could debunk this morning the great worry myth. Because far too many people, I think, really believe this myth. And the myth is, I can solve my problems by worrying about them. If I worry about my problems, that's going to fix everything. That's a myth. And if I were going to define worry today in my own way, it's a little bit long, but I would define it this way. It's fixating and then ruminating on situations and circumstances in a way that creates both emotional and physical duress and distress that can really incapacitate and lead to some unhealthy reactions. If you think about it, worry really is expending emotional energy in really a useless way over most of the time, that over which we have no control, that often includes imagining for ourselves worst-case scenarios about circumstances that are currently, they're undetermined, which Jesus says is not productive at all. Remember, he says in verse 27, can any of you, or one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And so this morning, I want us to begin by looking at what I would call three truths about worry. And we're going to spend a little bit of time here because we got to grasp these things. And the first truth about worry would be that actually everyone is susceptible. And we kind of know that, honestly, because of the examples that Jesus uses are really about some of the everyday basics of life. And it actually kind of makes me wonder if Jesus had been giving this teaching during COVID, whether he might have said, and why do you worry about toilet paper? Because remember what we were going on back then. But I really think there is a sense in which worry is a lot like the common cold. In other words, no one appears to be completely immune. And there's a sense in which any of us, whatever our age or stage in life, can be vulnerable to it. Now, some maybe more than others, but we can all fall victim to worry. I think it also doesn't help that we kind of live in this hyper-connectivity of a world where we can be connected to everyone else's anxieties on top of our own. I mean, when anyone anywhere in the world is worried about anything, it can be broadcast immediately to anyone everywhere through the internet or on social media. And so we're not just having to process our own anxieties alone. We get to have anxieties on a global level. I think it also doesn't help that really worry is a path of least resistance. Have you noticed it requires no effort or intentionality at all to worry? It's a mental malaise that seems to function entirely on its own without any real effort on our part. And I think at least part of the reason for that is because it's become one of Satan's most effective strategies to upend our lives by getting us to obsess on that over which we have no control and expend all of our emotional energy there, so we actually don't have any emotional energy to spend on what we do have control over. It also doesn't help that we all of us here deal with ants. Now, there's a Progressive commercial that talks about ants, but these are a different kind of ants. And actually, it's Dr. Daniel Amen who identifies these ants as automatic negative thoughts. And every one of us have experienced that. Because if you notice, without any effort or intention at all, our brains appear to be experts at providing us with numerous worst-case scenarios of what could happen in life. It also doesn't help that life equals change. And when you've lived a while, you begin to experience the reality that everything changes or ends. And these changes can be worrisome because they can make us uncomfortable. They create new and different experiences that we have never had before, not sure how to navigate. And of course, there can be both blessings and burdens represented in these changes. And I had to figure out a way to work this in because my youngest son and his wife just had our fifth grandchild. And you haven't seen any grandkid pictures for a while. Here's what's so fun on this side. Because while they're so excited to welcome sweet Nora to their home, and we're excited for them, we also know the great disruption that she will bring to their house. Can I get an amen from any of the veteran parents here today? Now, I don't want to leave out a picture of my son there, my proud papa holding her. But anybody notice something over his right eye? Because you can't make this stuff up. So they're in the delivery room, and Brandon's standing there ready to be a great support for his wife. They start to give her an IV, and he passes out cold, falls straight on the floor, and cuts his eye. The good news is he'll always have a little scar there to remember the day of her birth, which, can you believe it? She was born on 3-2-1 at 1-2-3. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. You can't even plan that kind of stuff. But, you know, their lives are going to change. Because actually, nothing stays the same forever. And we either work with and through the changes and we grow, or we resist the changes and we regress. Now, all that to say, if we're not careful, worry can actually become connected to our identity. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've said it yourself, "Well, I'm just a worrier. I'm a worrier. That's just the way I am. That's just what I do." It's kind of like the person who is overheard to be saying, "Hey, if I don't have anything to worry about, I start to worry about that. I don't have anything to worry about." And I hope you realize that if you keep identifying yourself as a worrier long enough, it will become your default reaction for every circumstance in your life. And the reason you don't ever want to accept that as an identity has to deal with the second truth about worry, which is that worry it's a liar. See, worry would like you to believe that it's helping you accomplish something, that it's giving you control over your circumstances, that it is an answer to your problem. And yet, have you ever heard anyone say, Wow, that worry session I just had was so invigorating. I feel energized and empowered, and my problems no longer feel like problems anymore. No, that's not what you've heard. And that's because worry never solved anything. Worry will only diminish the quality of your life. I mean, if you go home today and you Google worry, you'll find lots of helpful information about it. But none of it will mention anything about the wonderful benefits of worry. You're not going to find it. And so worry really isn't worthy of the effort and energy that it expends. Remember what Jesus said. Who of you, by worrying, are going to be able to add a single hour to your life? And I came across some other just interesting sayings that I think are so true. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives your mind something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Worry is like a down payment on a problem you may never have. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Not to mention that there's plenty of research that consistently finds, and I noticed multiple studies, that at least 85% of the things that we worry about never happen. What that means is more than 8 out of the 10 things that you're losing sleep over never become a reality. Now, some people have had worries that really they've carried around for years. I mean, I heard a story about a woman who was just afraid of burglars breaking into her home. And she worried about that for so much and for so long that for over a decade, she just couldn't get to sleep at night. Well, then sure enough, one night her husband heard a noise in the house and he went downstairs to investigate. And when he got there, lo and behold, here was a burglar. And when he saw him, he actually greeted him and he said, "Wow, I am so glad to see you. Would you please come upstairs so I can introduce you to my wife? She's been expecting you for 10 years now." So worry, folks, is neither helpful nor healthy. Dr. Charles Mayo from the famous Mayo Clinic had this to say about worry. "There's a growing mountain of evidence that worry is the chief contributor to depression, nervous breakdown, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and early death." And again, you might hear this instruction from Jesus not to worry, and you say, "But Jesus, I mean, I live in a world filled with rising interest rates and rising inflation and falling markets and wars and rumors of wars and on and on and on." And you see, anytime you try to control that over which you have no control, your life is going to feel out of control. That's where worry is going to take you. And I would say that more often than not, the things that we worry about really are outside of our control. And probably one of the big reasons for that is many of our anxieties are actually bound up in tomorrow. And we're not there yet. Have you ever noticed that we rarely are anxious about what's right in front of us? So often what we're anxious about might possibly happen or could conceivably happen tomorrow. And I appreciate what Chuck Swindoll had to say. He said, "Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine." And remember what Jesus said? He said, "Hey, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And what Jesus is trying to say is that worry isn't ever going to be any kind of benefit to you. And it's interesting how Jesus, I think, tries to point that out. He doesn't say, "Don't be anxious about your next career move or your schoolwork." He doesn't say, "Don't be anxious about whether you're going to get that awesome new possession or position you've been anticipating." He doesn't say, "Don't be anxious about whatever kinds of things that you're often anxious about." But he says, we shouldn't even be anxious about our basic needs. Don't be anxious about what you eat, or what you drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And Jesus goes right to the most basic necessities of life. I mean, some of the things that we don't even think about in the world in which we live because there's so much abundance today. And then Jesus says, don't be anxious about these things. And I think that's because the problem with our anxiety is not in the things we think we're anxious about. See, the reason we're anxious doesn't really have to do with the food that we have or don't have, or the clothes that we have or don't have. The reason we're anxious, honestly, is because we've decided not to trust God. And it's really why one of the most effective ways to deal with your anxiety is to do it indirectly, by dealing first and foremost with your faith. And that's because, honestly, worry and faith can't live comfortably in the same heart. And so if your heart is filled with faith, worry's going to try to get in, but it's going to have a tough time getting in. But when you allow worry to creep into your heart, it takes up the room that you need for faith, because they both can't live there. Which brings me to the third truth about worry, is that worry is almost always connected to some kind of fear. In other words, there's an outcome that is uncertain, and we're afraid of how it might turn out and what that will mean for us. And I don't know who said it, but I came across this quote a while back, and I thought, you know what? That really captures where it's at. It says, "What do faith and fear have in common besides the letter F? Well, they both believe in a future that hasn't happened yet, a future which they have little to no control over. The difference is that one believes in a future where God is in control." And see, worry really is the antithesis of faith when it represents a mistrust of God's provision. And it's why Jesus said, "Hey, don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. And see, this is one of the biblical principles that we need to constantly address, because it's so incredibly easy, isn't it, to worry instead of choosing to walk by faith. Now, part of the challenge with that is, I don't know if you've noticed, but God often practices just-in-time delivery. And I've learned to just know that, you know, God is never late, but he's seldom early. And part of that is because he's requiring us, asking us to walk by faith. And there are always going to be plenty of events and circumstances and possibilities that could trigger worry and anxiety in our lives. It could be our health, or the health of a loved one or friend. It could be our finances or the economy, relationships that are broken. It could be work. It could be our safety, both personally and nationally. It could be about the future and about world events. So there's always going to be an opportunity for worry. I don't think we're ever going to get away from that. So instead, what I would suggest we do is try to develop a strategy and put in place for ourselves some coping methods so that worry will only have a minimal impact on our lives. And so if you'd like to worry less, I believe biblical wisdom would offer to us two simple, though not always easy, don't confuse simple and easy, suggestions for dealing with worry and anxiety. If it were easy, more people would have mastered these. But I think Satan understands and would like to exploit the power of worry to diminish the quality of your life. And so it's not going to be easy, but it is really quite simple. It just needs to be practiced authentically, because our internal worrier is going to need to be reprogrammed. So probably the place to start would be to keep our situations in perspective by having a conversation with God. And not at the end, but just right away having a conversation with God. What if every time you found yourself beginning to worry, that it turned into a conversation with God? I think that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to get at in Philippians chapter 4, when he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Have a conversation. And the reason it's so important is because I think in these conversations with God, we can much easily be able to identify and then respond to the difference between the little t truths of our life and the big T truths of God. See, a little t truth is a reality that we're facing. But it's a little t truth because honestly, it's temporary and it's limited in scope and influence. And we all have these little truths. And it's vital to just be reminded that they don't tell the whole story. They might tell part of the story, but they don't tell the whole story. And so let me give you an example. A little T truth might be, this really seems like this is more than I can handle. The big T truth brings God into the picture, and the big T truth is that with God, all things are what? Possible. And big T truths do more than simply correct falsehoods. They actually, if we'll lean into them, can transform us. Because as we choose to believe what God says over our circumstances and what they suggest, we can at least begin to live with some greater peace and more assurance. And so what I'm wondering today, I don't know what kind of anxiety you're experiencing, but what big T truth would God want to plant in your heart today? And how might your life look different if you fully embraced the truth about him? The second thing I would want you to do would be this. Guard your thought processes. We need to do this by having a conversation with yourself. Now, it's going to feel weird, but it is okay, because I think sometimes, instead of just listening to yourself, because yourself is telling yourself stuff all the time, you probably need to talk to yourself. And what's interesting, we actually read that in the Bible. You know, the psalmist, had some good conversations with himself, when he could see where his thinking was not taking him in a healthy place. So, for example, in Psalm 42, verse 11, he says, "Hey, self, why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Now, what's interesting is just in a matter of a few short verses, he actually repeats that same statement three times. So you might have to spend a little bit of time telling yourself this over and over again. And then I would just want to say, when you have an anxious thought, simply acknowledge it and then decide that you're not going to think about it. See, we need to remember that a thought is a noun and thinking is a verb. And it truly is what you do with your thoughts, in other words, your thinking, that is going to lead you either closer to God or away from him. See, your thoughts are not your problem, it's your thinking. That's what the problem is. And worry is often the result of thinking too much about your thoughts. So I would encourage you, acknowledge the thought, talk to God if necessary, but don't allow your mind to keep thinking about it. Now, when I tell you that, you're going to go, "Not possible." But you know, I know it can be done. Because honestly, I am an expert at overthinking and running multiple scenarios in my mind over and over again. And what I finally decided is, you know what, I'm just not going to do that anymore. And then, this week, I faced two unexpected opportunities to worry. In all honesty, folks, this is so weird. I've experienced more anxiety in preparing for this message than I have in a long time preparing any message. I'm like, why is this making me so anxious? And I think it's like God was just saying to me, "Brian, I'm going to give you an opportunity to practice what you preach before you preach it. And see if you really believe in it." And then it was something we also weren't expecting. Remember that cute little picture I saw you or showed you of sweet Nora? Well, she was born, like I said, on 3-2-1. She's still in the hospital today because she's having some trouble with eating and breathing. They've done some genetic testing. They discovered she does have a chromosome deletion, which could lead to a lot of different things, possible immune issues, maybe some learning and development issues. It could be something or it could be nothing. But I'll tell you what, it's given me plenty of opportunities for worry, for anxiety. And so honestly, I would just tell you, I've had several conversations with God. And I've had to talk to myself instead of listening to myself. And I got to say, they have taken me to a better place and have helped to keep me there. And so as we wrap things up today, what I want to ask everyone here today, what's the biggest worry, the biggest anxiety in your life right now? And I'm wondering, what conversation do you need to have with God or with yourself? And so in just a moment, I'm going to be praying. But before I pray, I want to just give you an opportunity to share with God whatever you might need to talk to him about. And so let's spend a moment just kind of quietly in prayer ourselves. And whatever's been creating angst, anxiety, worry in you, would you kind of talk to God about that for a moment? Heavenly Father, I have no idea what kind of anxieties walked in the room this morning with the folks that are here, but I know there's some burdens, there's some worries, there's some concerns, there's some anxiety people's hearts today for a lot of different reasons. And God, there's a reason you don't want us to worry. Because often it takes us away from faith. But it can be so hard. It can be so hard to have faith in these moments. And so I pray that whatever little T-truth folks are experiencing today, that God, you would speak your big T-truth into their life and give them hope and encouragement and be able to lean into you and your faithfulness. Because you are faithful. You do love us. And you promise to never leave us or forsake us. So whoever's here today, Father, who may be feeling forsaken or feeling forgotten, pray that you would speak your truth into their heart and encourage them today with your strength. And God, we ask and pray that in Jesus' name, amen.